This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, the story of an Iraqi boy wounded terribly in this country now for medical treatment and a chance at a new life. First, maybe you had yesterday off to honor Christopher Columbus, but this is the actual day, the anniversary of his landing in the New World. In Los Angeles this week, scholars from around the world are releasing the final 13th volume of the most complete record of contemporaneous written accounts of the Admiral's four voyages across the Atlantic. It's called the Repertorium Columbianum. It includes English translations along with the original text. Jeffrey Simcox is the editor. He's a professor of European history at UCLA. In our studios, he read a part of a report by a 16th century Dominican friar, Bartolomeo Las Casas, relating what it must have been like when Columbus landed on the beach in the New World.
The Indians who were present, who were a great many, stood astonished at all these actions. Gazing at the Christians, frightened by their beards, by their paleness, and by their clothing, they went up to the bearded men, especially to the admiral, whom, due to the eminence and authority of his person, and also because he was dressed in scarlet, they understood to be the leader. And they reached out to the beards with their hands, marveling at them because they do not have any beards, and attentively wondering about the paleness of their hands and faces. The admiral and the rest, seeing their simplicity, tolerated all this with great pleasure and enjoyment. The Christians took the time to look at the Indians, no less amazed than the Indians were at them. They marveled at how great their gentleness, simplicity, and confidence were in the face of people whom they had never met before, and from whose appearance, since it was fearsome, they could have been frightened and run away. They marveled at the way they were walking among them and coming close to them with as much familiarity and so fearlessly and without suspicion, as if they had been fathers and children. They marveled at how all the natives walked around naked, just as their mothers had borne them. Then a little later on, very significant observation. The natives had no weapons, except that there were some javelins, which are staffs with the points fired and sharpened, or some of them with a fish's tooth or bone on the end, remember these were Stone Age people, which they used for fishing rather than killing any person. Now, this is a very significant observation. You'll notice that Columbus and the Spaniards from the very first see that the indigenous people are virtually defenseless.
I always am struck by what it must have looked like in terms of natural history. What did they find here? Because one imagines the New World as a kind of an Eden.
Indeed, it is portrayed as an Eden by many of the early commentators. It is a wonderful world, full of strange flora and fauna. The wonderment that that passage in Columbus's log reflects at the people that he found is reflected also in what he says about the trees, and he is constantly struck by the beauty of the trees, by the sound of the birdsong, by the abundance and beauty of nature. He tries constantly to say, well, these trees look like such and such a tree in Spain, because he's trying always to make the unfamiliar trees or fish or animals or whatever they are comprehensible to himself and to Europeans. But he realizes that he is in a totally, totally new environment.
After all this, Professor Simcox, these 13 volumes, do you understand better how you feel about Columbus now? What you think of him?
Coming to this project, I had the rather simple, I think, one-dimensional view we have of Columbus as the great navigator, and I had not realized the complexity and the ambiguity of his character. This is a man who was deeply religious, and as he got older, he became more and more mystical in his understanding of the meaning of his voyages. Increasingly, he was persuaded that what he was doing was carrying out a mission from God, which was to spread the gospel to the rest of the world so that all the peoples of the world could be gathered in, and then the last coming of Christ could take place. And he calculated, in fact, that the end of the world was about, 150 or so years off, and that his voyages were part of the divine plan, which was to culminate in the second coming of Christ. I had not realized there was this whole dimension which was there in Columbus's thinking and which impelled him, particularly in his later voyages, on his way. So I come away with a much more complicated picture of Columbus than the man standing on the poop deck of his ship steering intrepidly to the west.
Jeffrey Simcox is professor of European history at UCLA. He's the editor of the collection of contemporaneous accounts of Columbus's voyages to the New World, the Reportorium Columbianum. Professor, thanks for coming in to speak with us on Day to Day.
Thank you very much.